This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Dee, it's Catholic Vitamin V for
Vision.
I'm glad you're sitting here beside me again. Glad we're back. What show number are we up to?
193.
I know. It's not amazing.
Oh my gosh, can you believe we're almost to a 200?
Wow. Well, it's Tom and Dee, the deacon and the deaconess. We're glad to be with you once again. We have a vision of how we'd like to take it easy, but we don't seem to be doing it.
No. What happened to us? What happened to our retirement?
I don't know. You know, they say that you lose some of your marbles if you don't use them. We definitely have been keeping busy, haven't we?
You know how you come in some days from being out and you find me sitting on the bed with my Kindle playing Words with Friends?
Yes, I do.
That's what I want to do with my retirement.
Excuse me. I think you're doing that all the time anyway. Oh, well.
Oh.
So what do we have in our vitamin? Oh, well, I guess we'll kind of get into it. I was thinking.
You want to mention who our guest will be?
Well,
you want to wait?
Well, I was just going to suggest that we've met some wonderful people through our work, and our work and friend making led to Lenan Lasota, who is a Arizona resident and maybe 100 miles from us here, but someone that I stay in fairly regular contact with every couple, 3-4 months. And she's a good and holy woman, and she's back for a return visit to talk about the vision of what God is doing in her life, which I think is going to be inspiring and hopefully inspiring to help our listeners to see that there may be a vision of something in their lives, something that they hadn't thought about.
That is one of the benefits of doing this podcast for, 3-4 years? We have met so many multitudes of wonderful people,
all right,
wonderful right. Catholic people.
We have a lot of wonderful friends that we've made. Some we've got to know more personally, like Channing Dale, and now we're beginning to get to know her mother as we exchange some emails with her.
Or even like Lynn Ann, through the podcast, we've made contact with people we wouldn't have known before that live within like an hour's drive from us.
Right,
and then those people we usually end up at some point getting to meet personally face to face.
And just since we're on this topic, I've just made outreach to a brand new priest in the Tucson Diocese, Father John Paul Shea, and I'm hoping that we can bring him on as a guest in a couple of weeks. There's an interesting story there. It's just absolutely wonderful what this work or this area of ministry allows us to do.
We started this whole podcasting, this whole podcasting adventure out with a brand new priest. Remember? Father Rutherford.
Oh, yeah, Father Mark Rutherford, sure. I was trying to figure out where you were going with that. But, yeah, Father Mark was...
He was newly ordained. By the time, when you first met him, he'd only been ordained,
60 hours or
something?
I think it was, yeah.
By the time we interviewed him, he was only a month or two ordained.
So he was. He had had a powerful experience in adoration, and I think we've released that show again sometime later.
We did.
Just as a sort of an anniversary way of sharing a good interview that I enjoyed an awful lot.
Yeah, if anybody would like to re-listen to that, you have to go all the way back to the beginning in, 2009? September of 2009?
Right. Or find the repeat.
And it would be the adoration. Adoration.
Right. Well, what else do we have to share a little bit about?
While we're on the subject of pastors, we could talk about our new pastor. He's been with us now all of one whole month.
Yes, he has.
And he's making a difference.
Yes, he's really quite personable. He definitely is the pastor, but he is, we had a new server on the altar this morning at the 9 o'clock Mass, little Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
What a cutie she is. And she was so interested. How old would you say Maggie is? Is she about 8?
She's in third grade, so yeah, that sounds about right.
She is so interested in doing things just exactly right, and she was so attentive. And at the end of Mass, without any prompting from me or whatever, Father was doing the announcements, and he said, "Oh, and we had a new server today."
He's turning around to see where she was, yeah. And she was right behind him.
"Where's Maggie?" he said. And he introduced Maggie as having done her first serving. And
I mean, that was great, that acknowledgement.
Right. She had a big, she tried to stifle the smile. She had a big smile on her face. And Father is beginning to make some changes, a little bit in my preaching schedule and my work schedule. So God is good. God is good. Thank you for hearing our prayers. And we're continuing with our 33 days, the consecration to Jesus through Mary.
We're up in the final segment, final week. We're now into Pope John Paul II.
Yes, we are. Studying some of his devotion to the Blessed Virgin and how it affected his priesthood and pontificate. And then we're going to have some days of review. Our pastor has made arrangement, or is making arrangements, to have another priest come in, and two of them will be available for confessions for any of our 33-day attendees who want to go to confession before doing the consecration.
I remember when we did this last year, there were all of us, I think, wanted to go to confession, and maybe even a few extras trickled in who found out we were doing the confessions, and we had two. Father Bill came in, and we had one other priest, so we had enough to keep two priests busy.
We did. We're going to do the same thing, and then that means that we will be eligible for a plenary indulgence when we do the consecration, and so that's just a great gift for sure. Well, dear, we're into prattle, but we've been at it for a couple minutes, and I know that our Irish correspondent has prepared a sort of...
He's back?
Yes, Fergal is back.
Yay!
Yes, he is.
I missed him.
Well, guess what he's talking about in this? Downloaded it, so I know in advance what he's talking about.
What?
About the vision at Knock.
Oh.
You remember when we were at Knock?
Yes.
How beautiful it was. It was rather quiet there.
There wasn't anything really going on. I mean, there was no pilgrimages there or anything at the time we were there.
No, because it was the middle of the week. But we went to Mass in the evening there, and then we walked and toured through the large cathedral, or basilica, I guess it is, a basilica.
Went to the gift shop and the coffee shop.
And the museum. Do you remember that museum?
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Great, great museum. One of the better museums that shows what it was like back at the time of Mary's appearance. And how the people lived and what some of the problems were.
That was very interesting.
It really was. All right, well, that's enough prattle. Let's find our Irish correspondent and ask him to share his thoughts on vision.
On the wet Thursday evening on the 21st of August 1879, at about 8 o'clock, Our Lady, St. Joseph, and St. John the Evangelist appeared in a blaze of heavenly light at the south gable of Knock Parish Church. Behind them, and a little to the left of St. John, was a plain altar. On the altar was a cross and a lamb with adoring angels. This vision was seen by 15 people whose ages ranged from 6 years to 75 and included men, women, and children. The witnesses described the Blessed Virgin Mary as being clothed in white robes and a brilliant crown on her head. Over the forehead, where the crown fitted the brow, she wore a beautiful, full-bloomed golden rose. She was in an attitude of prayer, with her eyes and her hands raised towards heaven. St. Joseph stood on Our Lady's right. He was turned towards her in an attitude of respect. His robes were also white. St. John was on Our Lady's left. He was dressed also in white vestments and resembled a bishop with a small mitre on his head. He appeared to be preaching, and he held an open book in his left hand. The witnesses watched the apparition in pouring rain for 2 hours, reciting the rosary. although they themselves were saturated, not a single drop of rain fell on the gable or on the vision. The apparition at Knock, or this vision at Knock, is noted as unique for two particular reasons. One, silence. No message was given verbally. And two, the appearance of the Lamb of God on the altar. Now, there are many meanings that we can take from the events at Knock, and the fact that no verbal message was given pulls us more into the wonder and awe of the vision itself. You see, the search for meaning and ultimately for God always leads us to these secret places and these sacred places where we can connect with the Lord. And today, Knock in Ireland provides the space that is needed to encounter Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Each and every time that I visit the shrine, which has been graced with the visits of Blessed Teresa of Calcutta and indeed John Paul II, to mention but only two, I am struck by the very strong emphasis that the apparition places on family. Ireland is proud of its tradition of family, and people who visit our shores always comment on the many family units they see out and about, smiling and happy. Indeed, the apparition places great emphasis on the importance of the family based on marriage, which is, of course, the most fundamental building block of society. If we look at the vision carefully, we see Mary, Joseph, and John. Mary and Joseph, of course, are the parents of Jesus, but John? Well, he was the one that was given to Mary as a son at the foot of the cross. When John Paul II was in Ireland, and particularly in Limerick in 1979, he picked up on this theme of family and delivered the following words. To all I say, revere and protect your family and your family life, for the family is the primary field of Christian action for the Irish laity, the place where your royal priesthood is chiefly exercised. The Christian family has been in the past Ireland's greatest spiritual resource. Modern conditions and social changes have created new patterns and new difficulties for family life and indeed for Christian marriage. And I want to say to you, do not be discouraged. Do not follow the trends where a closely knit family is seen as outdated. The Christian family is more important for the church and for society today than ever before. Is it any wonder then, as we walk around the Church of Apparitions in Knock, we still see family units walking together in prayer? The Holy Father's words indeed are truer now today than they were when they were first delivered. On the 21st of August this year, we will celebrate the 134th anniversary of this vision at Knock. And in line with Our Lady's wishes, we continue to pray in the words of Blessed John Paul II. Mother, we entrust to your care the land of Ireland, where you have been and are so much loved. Help this land to stay true to you and your son always. May prosperity never cause Irish men and women to forget God or abandon their faith. Keep them faithful in prosperity to the faith they would not surrender in poverty and persecution. Save them from greed, from envy, from seeking selfish or sectional interest. Help them to work together with a sense of Christian purpose and a common Christian goal to build a just and peaceful and loving society, where the poor are never neglected and the rights of all, especially the weak, are respected. Queen of Ireland, Mary, Mother of the Heavenly and Earthly Church, a Wahir's Day, keep Ireland true to her spiritual tradition and her Christian heritage. Help her to respond to her historic mission of bringing the light of Christ to the nations and so making the glory of God be the honour of Ireland. Thank you.
Well, dear listeners, it was November of 2010 when we first introduced you to a wonderful woman of faith and faith witness. Her name is Lynann Lasota. She's agreed to come back on this show for Catholic Vitamin V for Vision. And we'll get into talking about vision a little bit in a few moments. Lynann, welcome back to our podcast. We've missed you.
Oh, it's a pleasure being back. Thank you.
When we had you on the show before, we talked about Catholic gifts, and you are a woman that by your life and your witness indicate that you recognize and you're happy to discuss the gifts that God has given you, some of the ones that are a little painful and some of the ones that are a great joy. But before we get into you currently, let's go back a little bit. And can you just thumbnail for 2 or 3 minutes your childhood? I know that we got to package a lot into just a short paragraph, but let our listeners know about your childhood and early faith.
Okay, that would be fine. My early faith, I am a cradle Catholic, baptized as an infant, and church. I moved 17 times. I have been to 10 different schools before I graduated from high school, some Catholic and some not. So my catechesis was kind of all over the place. I was not raised specifically in the truths and the doctrines of the church, and had to learn those later, but I did receive all my sacraments as a child, and then realized that the grace of those sacraments has to grow. And so later on, I was able to experience that growth. But in my early years, I didn't have a lot of the real teachings and a great love or even understanding of our Mother Mary. And so as I got to be older, I think Mary more so now than ever is a great instrument to me in bringing me to a greater and deeper love of Christ. I used to be jealous of Mary, not understanding that she keeps nothing for herself. All she desires of us is to give our hearts to her Son, and it just pains her when we don't. I've told you before in the past that in 2004, I made my consecration to Jesus through Mary, and it's a funny story. It was a small book I read at Burger King with my kids, led me to true devotion, which led me to the 30-day consecration that I did with both my 7-year-old and 9-year-old at the time. We continued to do that every year. And one of my thoughts during that time was, wow, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if I was pregnant, if my child could be born on December 8th, which was the day of my consecration. But she was due December 31st. And on December 7th, the doctor had me go into the hospital for an early induction. And I laughed at God and said, oh, you have a sense of humor. You're going to have my baby born a day early. but the doctor did not induce until very late in the day. And at 12:05 a.m. on December 8th, 2004, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, they said I was ready to give birth to my child. And it happened to be a daughter, and we did name her Heather Marie. And that to me was, you talked about gifts earlier, was a great gift of grace and consolation that I didn't deserve, to actually have my daughter born not only on the Feast of Immaculate Conception, which brought me to Mary, but on the day of my consecration. And you mentioned early vision, and it was like God knew that vision, and I just had to and follow the promptings in order to receive all that grace. Since that time, I'm going to fast forward because it could get into a long story. Since that time in 2008, I had a miscarriage and became very ill. I did receive the anointing of the sick on October the 8th, 2008. And on that moment, I also received again another great consolation of, as the priest laid his hands on my head, I literally felt as if a waterfall was going through my entire body, and it reminded me of the living water of faith. But I also believed that I was spiritually cleansed. I was not physically healed, but prayed a novena that ended on All Saints Day, and I was healed of that particular illness. And since that day, life has not been the same. And I know I spoke with you in 2010, and so much has happened in 3 years. But it's just amazing how once you decide to love Jesus in everything, how he just keeps helping and guiding and strengthening and being there for you. So the gifts that I spoke about 3 years ago, I just think have exponentially increased in the many, many favors and blessings and graces that God has given to me. And I just can't wait for what's next. So,
all right. Well, our show this time is about the faith vitamin of vision. And it seems to me that you have been gifted through a lot of your life with a vision of, I don't know, the next step to take, or seeking help for God's will in your life. You've come to know it and begin to implement the vision. I think we talked a little bit recently by email, and you were telling me about a growth in a special ministry that you're involved in. Why don't you talk to our listeners about that?
Oh, the ministry for praise.
Yes.
I have to agree with you. I wish I knew God's will in my life all the time, but you're right. We have to have that vision to always do God's will. And here's the difference in my personal life is I, through my personality and even, you know, faults and imperfections that we all have, was really, really blocking what God was trying to place right before me. And I found the more that my eyes, if you talk about vision, I think of seeing, the more that not only we see with our eyes, but see with our heart, how many times that God is placing opportunities in our path in order to guide us. And that'll lead me to what has happened in what a priest has actually called my ministry for priest. The priest that anointed me back in 2008 was very instrumental in showing me how to have a relationship, a friendship, and a love for Jesus Christ. And in that, I started, in a sense, studying the priesthood. I should change that. Studying the Sacrament of Holy Orders and finding out, what is a priest? Why did Jesus call priests? What is their role? And so I've read several books on it. Well, in the meantime, in our particular parish that I am a part of, we had lots of priests coming and going. And so I got an opportunity to meet many priests, and we invited them over to dinner. And we got to know them as men and as human, not just as someone that prays the Mass. And in those encounters, I realized that they have struggles, and they have things that they're also fighting and working on, although they would never voice them outwardly. They kept that inwardly to themselves, which you could just experience through their talk and their person. I decided that every priest I met, I was going to write his name down, write down his ordination date, and I would at least acknowledge his ordination with a card, just send him an encouragement card. I've been doing this with one priest in Atlanta now for 14 years. So I started making what I call my list, in just a little notebook, just priest names and their ordinations. Well, a young priest asked me, he said, well, how many priests have you met? Because it seemed like everywhere I went, I would actually meet the priest, get his name, and find out his ordination. And I'm like, this is the little, it got to the point where there was like 25. And I said, I think there's like 20 or 25, something like that. And he said, well, do you have them all written down? And I said, no, I don't. He goes, well, could you? And I went, yes, I could do that. So I made this list, and I ended up putting their names, where they were located, their ordination, and their ordination date. And so I showed it to him, and he goes, wow, well, I know so-and-so, and I know so-and-so, and he was naming the different priests that he knew because they were a part of an order. So I kept it and would pray specifically for each one of these priests every day. And what would happen is another priest would come, said to God, I said, Lord, please don't give me his contact information. I don't know if I can handle another one, you know. But lo and behold, before the priest left, I found out where he lived, his address, and his ordination date. Well, about 2 years later, I was praying in the church after Mass before the Blessed Sacrament, and I knew someone was behind me. And I thought, I just need to pray for this person, having no idea who he was. And I finished my prayers, and I got out of the pew, and in my head, I don't know what you want to call this, I had an inspiration, a thought, a prompting of the Holy Spirit, and the thought was this. It was as God saying, go to this person, this man, and say, my peace is with you. And so I got up to walk away, and it was like, no, you need to go tell this man, my peace is with you. So I went into this pew to this stranger who I'd never seen in our parish, and he was dressed in, you know, just casual, or, you know, a pair of slacks and a sport shirt. And I said, God, I believe God wants me to tell you that his peace. And he goes, what did you say? And I said, God, I believe God wants me to tell you his peace is with you. And he goes, well, thank you so much. And then, because there was no one else at first, we had a conversation about faith. So finally I said to him, I said, well, can I get your name? Because I like to pray for people by name. And he said, yes, my name is Father, and I'm going to just say Jay. He said his name. But he goes, my name is Father Jay. And I just went, oh, my goodness, another priest. And he told me his story, and he has some struggles with his priesthood. And to this day, I have his cell phone number. I write him notes of encouragement. I have his ordination day, and I pray for him mostly. I pray for him specifically every single day. But what was so interesting about that as encounter is when I told him I would, you know, could I have your contact information, he gave it to me, but then he was hesitant. And I was trying to reassure him that, I'm just here to encourage you in your priesthood. And so I remembered having that list in my Bible that this other priest had told me to do 6 months ago. So I pulled the list out, and I said, see, this is something I do. These are all the priests I pray for. And after he saw the list, it was like, okay, you know, it was like a sense of awe. Well, this has continued over the last, I want to say, 4 years at least, and I now have a list of over 80 priests, only about maybe four whom I have not personally met, but I have spoken to or have met through someone else. The rest of them I have personally met, talked to. They're in Israel and Rome. I know one in Germany, Michigan, all the southern states. I know one in Peru, in Philippines. So it's not just where I live. And I write. That's what I do, is I'm a writer. But I don't write for publication anymore. I write personal letters. And the Holy Spirit will inspire me. It's almost like he says, I need you to write to so-and-so. And I sit, and the letter almost writes itself. I keep no copies of any of my letters. So if someone comes back to me and says, oh, remember when you said, I really don't, because I don't. It's all handwritten letters and there's no copies. And if the person wants to keep it, that's fine. And if not, that's fine too. Because I believe that God has given me the ministry to be his voice. And it's not about me. We're his messengers. He uses our physical bodies to do his will, to live his vision. And he gives us all these senses and means to do so. So to me, it's what I call my ministry for priests, in the sense that I'm able to understand a little bit the priesthood through what I've read and through the priests I've spoken to, but most of all, I'm there to pray for them so that they receive the grace that they need to shine Christ's light and love to his people, so that his people will come to love him. Yes, we can love our priests and respect our priest and reverence our priest. But what God is really saying is, my priests are there so you will know me. And that love for him just grows by our priest being more holy. And it's an amazing vision for me. I don't know where God's taking it. I don't pretend to know, and I do my best not to question. If a priest comes in my path and I feel I need to write or to talk to him, I will. I did have one priest tell him I had a message for him, and I delayed, And I told him that. I went up to him. I said, I'm so sorry. I believe God wants me to tell you something. And I delayed. And he said, why did you delay? And it was almost God saying to me, obey immediately, without question. As Mary had ardent faith, blind obedience. That's what he asked of each of us. And so I feel unworthy for what I do. But I hope with all my heart it's God speaking and not me. And I always ask our Lord to put me in the background like Mary and shine through me so that in other people's visions they see Christ in me and not see me.
Well, our guest is Lynann Lasota. You listeners will probably be able to tell why I really gravitated to her when we first met in North Central Arizona some years ago. I'm particularly interested in this, Lynann, because I've been a parish with a lot of older people, and I think many of mm-hmm. them don't feel that they can do much anymore. Your vision, capitalized, of service opens up a lot that people can do, whether for priests or deacons, smiling hint there, or homebound people, or seminarians. How about seminarians?
Seminarians, I have met two specifically that I know very well. They're in the Diocese of Phoenix. I know you're in the Diocese of Tucson. And same thing happened there is I gravitated toward this particular young man, and we started talking, and I write him often. In fact, right now he's recovering from a very major surgery, and we're still praying that he'll be able to go back to seminary. But, yes, I have four seminarians on my list. And speaking of seminary, my son right now is in a discernment process at a seminary right now, discerning whether he will go into that seminary or pursue his vocation for the priesthood. And so it's very interesting that I have this ministry for priests, and I have a son who is discerning the priesthood. But I do tell my son that's God's calling, not mine. Whatever choice he has for you, you have to, again, back to that word vision. I love that word. You have to see God's vision in your life, and I will support you either way. So that's been interesting to have the ministry and then have a son considering that. But you're right. There are very many opportunities for anybody, no matter what age we are. I have a family of five children. I homeschool. I work a job. I'm now the volunteer liturgy coordinator at the parish, and I still have this ministry for priests. I have no clue how I have the time to do all this.
Yeah. And as we move to a close, I promised that we would keep this fairly short. Besides the volunteer liturgy work, I know that you have given retreats and talks. Can you share a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. I actually do the baptismal preparation class for parents and godparents every month at the parish, and I give retreats for all of the different levels of sacraments. I do all the sacrament retreats. And then on a side, we open up to the public women's retreats. We did one about a year and a half ago, and we actually had Auxiliary Bishop Eduardo Navarez come, and the Director of Liturgy, Father Kiernan Kekluski, who helped us understand when the New Roman Missal came out. We used to charge for these, and we don't anymore. Now I do a retreat at Advent and Lent at our parish. It's everybody. This last one we did on the encyclical Mulieres Dignitatum by Pope John Paul II, and it's about the dignity and vocation of women. And I think sometimes I learn more by giving them than I do by, you know, presenting and them learning. But the retreats are just a wonderful thing for me to give and to help people to come to more know their spiritual life and where they are. And now they're free. And what's so amazing is when you offer something free, here we go. The vision of those who say, well, I can volunteer my time, or I could donate food, or I could give this or give that. It was interesting. By taking the price tag off, we actually got more. We got more people and more people involved. So it's just, God is so good. He's so good when you follow his promptings for whatever we're supposed to do in life.
Lynann, do you publish your email address in case anybody wants to reach out to you?
Oh, absolutely. I'm trying to find, let's see, the easiest address, if anybody wants to reach out, it's actually a Gmail. Let's see, it's kind of long, but it's volunteer, olog parish@gmail.com. And that's all my church and ministry emails that I get.
I was entering that. Do it one more time, please.
Okay, it's the word volunteer, V O L U N T E E R, O L O G as in good, parish at gmail.com.
Okay, and I think I heard that, I'm sure you can't go very far for free, but that you are available maybe to talk with some people if they would like to do a retreat or something in their parish. You'd be willing to talk with them about it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm willing to be a presenter at retreats anywhere if people set it up. I mean, the hard part for me is I not only present, but I also organize them, and it'd be great to have someone else do all the organizing and just focus on the talks and the words that God wants me to speak.
Our guest for this brief foray into vision, Catholic Vitamin V Vision, has been a dear friend, someone who is just really spiritually magnetic, and someone that I hope our listeners will come to know more about and follow. Lynann Lasota, she's in the Greater Phoenix area. We're about 100 miles apart, a little bit too far for frequent get-togethers, but I still hope that we can do a breakfast once in a while or a brunch or something after Mass. So, and blessings upon your work and ministry, blessings upon your son who's discerning a possible vocation, and blessing upon your husband and the rest of your family.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, I do. It would be great to have more conversations of the spiritual life. It's just, it's incredible. The more we become friendships with Jesus and those also who do, and then the friendships are just that much better.
Amen. Lynann, we'll keep you in our prayers. God bless.
Oh, God bless you too. Thank you.
I think it was St. Irenaeus who wrote, "The glory of God is man fully alive." And our guest, Lynann, is a woman fully alive in our wonderful Catholic faith. Thank you, Lynann, for guesting again for a while on Catholic Vitamins and helping us to see the vision of how God is working in your life and your implementation of his vision for you. Next up, TNEP. This new evangelization podcast segment from Justin Stroh.
Duke in Ultim. Hi, this is Justin Stroh, and welcome to this new evangelization. Is grief your daily occupation? Can you rest your mind at night? Do you hear the voice of the Lord? New evangelist, the curse of death turns us back to dust. So we need to seek the voice of the Lord. While death has been conquered, we still suffer it in imitation of Christ. Now in this way, we seek what's above. Our vision is the person of Jesus Christ. He is a divine person, and he is risen from the dead in his human nature. See, our Lord took on the nature that we possess, a human nature. Yet he is not a human person, he is a divine person. And in his divinity, he reunited his human body and his human soul after death. We call it the resurrection. And by seeking him, the risen one, we put to death immorality, impurity, the passions, the evil desires, the greed, the idolatry, the lying, the cheating. For there is only one possession that we want, and that is him. This is the one possession that we are created for, and therefore we share. We share our possessions, and we share our possessions because we share our faith. Our faith, which informs us, instructs us, enlightens us to give of everything that is of this earth, that is the dust, to give it all to the end. For none of it will last into eternity. We are eternal beings. God is an infinite being, but we are created to consume his infinity. To infinity and beyond. That is what you and I are created for. Recently, a friend of mine in the grocery store was checking out. She had all of her kids in tow. A person comes up to her and asks her, "Are all of these yours?" Can you believe it? She asks her this question in front of her kids. How insensitive is this? Also worth asking, why is this person so bold about their secularism? And why are we less about our faith? Our faith is the answer to this person's anxious concern about the world's goods. The question, "Are all these yours?" assumes that God cannot provide for all of these who are ours. And of course, the Catholic knows that all of these aren't ours. They all are his. They all belong to our Lord. So cheers to all of you couples who do not contracept and heed the command of our Lord when he created the male and female and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." For what you are doing is trusting in the loving providential care of God, who is going to provide the best for you and for your children.
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
Thank you, Justin, as always. We know he's a Eucharistic what, leader in his parish?
Yeah, there's a title that they have for his position, but I think he is the one that coordinates all the Eucharistic ministry action in his parish.
Well, speaking of leaders in the parish, our pastor is going to come to our house on Friday. Tell everybody what is going to happen here.
Well, we've mentioned this before. I think we actually carried a part of this on an earlier show talking about home enthronement. And we're going to be doing home enthronement here with the pastor sort of leading the little para-liturgy ceremony. This will be on Friday at 11 a.m. We're having some people from the parish, from different areas of the parish, come
to witness this, to find out what enthronement is about.
Right. And we're going to be putting up a brand new picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary together in one picture. It was framed and cut out and
by our dear friend Candy.
Candy at Breath of Life Retreat House. She also does calligraphy and framing. So thank you, Candy. And I think Candy and Jim are going to be here.
They said they were.
Yeah. Hey, we received a notice from, who is this from?
Tim and Erie.
Oh, Tim and Erie. That the Erie, PA Men's Conference.
They finally have a website up.
Is going to be held at the Bayfront Convention Center in Erie, Saturday, November 23rd from 9 to 3:30 p.m. The cost is $40. It includes a lunch. And the speakers include Dr. Ray Guarendi. I've heard him. He's great. Father Larry Richards, who I've loved for years. And Danny Abramowitz, who I've heard.
We've heard him on like Paul's Men podcast.
Yeah. And I also met him at Franciscan. Did you know that?
Oh, no, did you?
Yeah. And they have a website up, http://2232men.com, 2232men.com. And you said, did I know what that stood for?
I was wondering what 2232 meant. And so when I got on the website, I realized what it meant. It's a quote. It's a verse from Luke 22:32.
So I guess that means chapter 22, verse 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers.
Right. So we can put a link to that in the show notes.
All right. I'll try to remember to do that. Sometimes I do and sometimes I fail.
I'm making a note for you right here, right now.
All right. Well, that sort of work sort of tracks right along with Justin Stroh and Fergal O'Neill. But we cannot forget the beautiful missionary heart of Mariana Bartholomew, and she's here with her thoughts on vision.
This is journalist Mariana Bartholomew with a missionary moment. A month or so ago, a tall, wiry missionary visited a Chicago suburban parish. Father Buzzani described his 7 scattered missions in the Luangwa Valley in the wilds of eastern Zambia. Here, crocodiles, poisonous snakes, and boars frequently attack and kill villagers. Father said it wasn't uncommon to walk along and suddenly face a lion in the path. I raised my hand and asked what his strategy was in such a situation. He shrugged and said, "Trust in God's grace." Father Buzzani is earnest, rather solemn, but when he smiles, it lights up his face. He is strikingly lean. I noticed how neatly he was dressed, but his cotton shirt seemed worn thin, with a large faded spot in back. But the best way to illustrate his poverty might be to describe his daily cuisine. He showed us a picture of his typical meal. Cornmeal and water gruel, a mound of fermented cabbage, and a simple tomato sauce. For protein, Father Buzzani ate mice, abundant and cheap. Father lacked transportation to his mission, so a friend of his with vision in the Chicago area launched a campaign. Driving Zambia's rutted terrain can be torture, especially in rainy season. Routes are often little more than matted, circuitous trails. To reach one mission for Easter Vigil, for example, Father Buzzani traversed 165 miles of tundra to reach a location 53 miles away. The missionary showed pictures of his borrowed vehicle stuck in mud up to the chassis. It took a whole team and 7 hours to dig and push the vehicle free. Having a reliable vehicle that could navigate tough terrain and wouldn't break down would help ease the difficulty. So Father's Chicago-area friend put word out, and through a Facebook campaign raised enough funds to provide a new vehicle. Now that's having a specific vision and carrying it through to a worthy end. I remember at times people wondered if the campaign would raise enough funds, but friends told friends, and the goal was even surpassed by more than $400. Now, through word of mouth, a generous donation of rosaries is also being sent back with Father Buzzani. Villages wear these blessed rosaries as protection against rampant satanic worship in the region. That vision of a new truck and a case full of rosaries to bless faithful in the African wilderness led to a third world missionary being blessed by first world generosity. Even if the truck never came to this young missionary, however, and no one listened to his pleas for aid, his vision of serving the most remote peoples of Zambia would remain. He would continue hitching rides, getting stranded on the road, risking death by ferocious animal attack, because the vision that compels him, that keeps him moving through both monsoon and drought, is a commission he can't ignore, and that of every baptized Christian, to spread Christ to all nations. Bishop George Cosmas Zumail Lungu, of Father Buzzani's Diocese of Chapata, said it well last year in a letter to his priests. "Do not be intimidated by anyone. You were ordained to preach the gospel, and this must be done even in the face of persecution. In doing so, you will be carrying out the prophetic role of being the conscience of society. As Jesus said, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna." Matthew 10:28. "No one shall be allowed to silence our priests." Bishop Lungu wrote this message August of 2012 after one of his priests was deported after preaching a Sunday homily elaborating on themes straight from Scripture about the plight of the poor and society's needed response. After 4 months, the Zambian government reversed its decision, allowing the exiled priest, 40-year-old Father Viachur Banyangandora, to return. This might never have happened if concerned Catholics in the nation hadn't voiced their protest and demanded justice to be done. A united vision shared by Catholics and their hierarchy convinced a government to alter its course. Today, our pastor at Mass challenged us to examine our vision. When material blessings come, he asked, do we use those blessings to just meet our own needs and those of our family? Or do we see that the Lord is giving riches to us that they might pass through our hands to people in need? It takes a special type of vision for people to receive a material blessing and then open their grip so it may pass to others. Our new Holy Father is giving us many lessons along those lines, and he's enriching the vision the world has of living a devout Catholic life. So many incredible stories emerged from Pope Francis's recent World Youth Day visit to Brazil. Did you hear about the 9-year-old boy who jumped barricades to embrace the Holy Father? The boy held the Pope's face in his hands and whispered in his ear, "I have a very important message for you. I want to become a priest." Pope Francis hugged the boy and said, "Your dream begins to fulfill today. I will pray for you, but you must pray for me." Pictures showed the boy afterward, overwhelmed by joy and emotion, covering his face with his hands. His vision of his vocation propelled him to leap past those barricades, and now the Holy Father shares his vision and will pray for him. It reminds me of the St. Thérèse of Lisieux moment, when the young girl broke free and cast herself at the feet of the pontiff in Rome to tell him of her desire to enter the convent at the young age of 15. We can see how that story ended, with Thérèse of Lisieux becoming one of the most beloved saints of all time. So thank God for supernatural vision. A vision toward a specific goal can make a tangible difference, like in the case of Father Bozzani receiving his truck and rosaries. A godly vision toward riches causes us to bless others, instead of just using our material goods to eat, drink, and be merry. A vision of faith compels us to leap over obstacles, to spread our love of Christ to others. Let's pray to the Holy Spirit daily to open our eyes. An inspired vision changes everything.
Well, I'll tell you what, dear, the story that Mariana shared about that missionary in Africa and the animals.
I'm glad I wasn't eating right now.
I don't know. But I'll tell you what, if there's ever an indication, a reason to
pray for the missionary
and to share some of our resources, you know, I forget who it was that I was talking with, who's with an organization that helps to support children, needy children. And you and I have been members of the support team for CFCA, the Christian Foundation for Children and Aging. And we've sponsored over the years.
Yeah, a couple young children.
Yeah.
And then the last few years, we've been sponsoring an elderly gentleman.
Right, right. All right. Well, Mariana gives us more to consider and more to pray about, and such beautiful missionary moments. Thank you, Mariana. No wonder you were a 7-time award-winning journalist.
She definitely does paint a good picture, a good vision.
Yeah, for sure.
Of what missionaries go through.
Well, I think we had no winner, you were telling me before we started on this
segment.
No
winner this time.
No winner. And so we're ready to do Vitus Scrabble.
Vitus Scrabble for next time, vitamin W.
W.
Ends in G.
That's strange. What kind of word ends in G? It starts with a W.
One that has 7 letters.
Oh. Well, this will be different. If anybody gets this will be a really good guess if they get this. Catholic vitamin W, ends in G, 7 letters.
Right.
And if they have an idea, there's 2 ways that they can take a guess. They can call our feedback number, 206-309-4160. If you're in the car right now, pull over to the side for heaven's sakes and call our number. or you can send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com.
We like the audio, especially now that we have a number again to have audio.
Yeah. Well, dear, we've plugged the upcoming show.
Excuse me.
Do we have anything left on our list? Oh, we have Catholic Vitamins bumper stickers, and we have Eucharistic bumper stickers. And our dear friend, Carrie Donaldson, a good friend of Catholic Vitamins, she was a guest a long time ago, posted a picture on her own personal Facebook page.
I saw it this morning.
Which had nothing to do with us, per se. She was showing a picture of the back of their van. So there is Carrie Donaldson showing a picture of the back of their car loaded from, I guess they were camping or something for 10 days, and boy, did the back of the van ever look stuffed. But I happened to notice down low, you called my attention to it.
The bumper sticker.
The Eucharist, the real presence of Christ. And I went, all right, Carrie, awesome. If you would like one of these, and they are just wonderful, call our feedback number that I gave just a moment or two ago, or send us an email, and we would be happy to respond. It's part of our Catholic Vitamins ministry to promote the Eucharist, or our podcast, for that matter.
I hate to sound like a broken record, but go to iTunes and leave a review for us. It helps other people find out about us.
Exactly. And you can also go to Friends of Catholic Vitamins and ask to become a friend there. And, you know, we do all sorts of things. One lady got s'mores and another lady got something in her pay envelope at work. She was very surprised. All right. Well, we're sort of kidding about all that, but good things can happen. Thanks for listening to Catholic Vitamins. Thank you to Mariana. Thank you to Justin. Thank you to Fergal, our voice from Ireland. And thank you, Lenan Lasota, for your faith witness and your vision of how God's working in your life.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings. Prayer for the United States. God our Father, giver of life, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom.
Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will through the intercession of
Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land. Grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new millennium of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
One of the joys of working on Catholic Vitamins, as we've said earlier, some of the people we've gotten to meet and know. We haven't met Nancy Krebs personally, but we have found out about her music, and she shared some with Catholic Vitamins. We're going to listen to her song, Waiting for Me, a great vision of us to have for the Lord God, always waiting for us. And from her album, Songs from the Heart, Nancy Krebs, found at nancykrebs.com, a lady with just a gorgeous voice.
Every day and every night, whether I wake or sleep, whether I think of you or not, you always think of me. In the morning or the evening, whether I drink or eat, in your infinite mercy, you are there waiting for me. To notice you, think of you, live in you, love through you, seek only you. You, hope in you, my God, to walk with you, run with you, stay with you, be with you, seek only you, honor you, hope in you.
To give yourself.